Hello, everyone. This is Pam Barker. Welcome to Travel Bistro. Thank you for being here. Pull up a chair, get a libation, or don't. Whatever suits you. Thanks for being here, though. We are going to talk about travel, of course. Today, it's French Polynesia. I have guest Deborah Hamilton is here. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Pam.
And my partner in crime, Gary.
Hello.
Gary Barker, H-G-E-R-R-Y, pronounced Gary. Thank you very much. Hey, guys, you ready to talk about French Polynesia?
I think we should talk about Tahitian dreams.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Dreams of Tahiti.
We have quite a bit to talk about. Don't know how much we'll get through today because we have so much. We may have to have two podcasts to talk about everything that was this trip that we took in February, actually. It's indescribable for me personally, just me, my feelings when I was there. It's so magical. I felt I was really in another place. When you travel a lot, you see a lot, but there are places that are so indescribable, even though we're going to try to do that today. This trip was one of those, and it's not easy to get there from where we are in South Florida. Deb is from
Galveston area.
She had a little less travel time, but not that much different from us. So we did this trip together. That's why we're doing this podcast together. We met up in California and went from there. So Let's talk. Deb?
Well, I think when you say it's indescribable, it's the reason I think it's hard to put into words is because it's more of a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It was very much something that I have wanted to do my whole life. Since reading Mutiny on the Bounty when I was in high school, I was totally into thinking about how could a place be that beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into Gauguin's paintings. And I'd always dreamed of it, really literally and physically, daydreamed, night dreamed about Tahiti.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got the call and you all said you were going to Tahiti, I was like, oh, it's my dream come true. I want to go with you. So one thing led to the other and we all ended up together. And it was truly a dream. And interestingly enough, the cruise that we went on was named Dreams of Tahiti, right? Or Tahitian Dreams. Was Dreams of Tahiti.
Dreams of Tahiti.
Dreams of Tahiti on Windstar. And it truly was just a dream.
Let's back up just a little bit about the ship. Let's talk about the ship first. Even though we had to fly to get there, and there's much to talk about, which we will talk about that. But let's jump in and talk about the way to really see French Polynesia on a ship like that.
Well, it's really the perfect way, especially if you've never been there in person. I mean, you know, like you say, we've known about it all our lives, South Pacific and Mutiny on the Bounty and in art and media and movies. But, you know, the way for first timers, I think it's perfect to be on a cruise ship like Windstar, which we were on Star Breeze. It was just brand new deployed to the area. Windstar has been serving Tahiti for almost 40 years with sailing ships. And really there's so much demand from people who want to go there that they just put Star Breeze in Tahiti because it doubled the number of people that could be on the ship.
And when exactly did they relaunch, put that ship there?
I believe February 15th was the first cruise on Star Breeze. And so we were probably on the second.
We were on the second. I think we got there on the 15th. I think it was the week before.
Yeah, maybe it was the week before.
Yeah, okay. So February.
Early February, yeah. And the interesting thing about doing it by ship, that way, one thing I thought about, Gary and Pam, was everybody I talked to that had been there had been like to Bora Bora.
Right.
And they had flown in. There's a lot of honeymoon things, a lot of anniversary things where people go to do the above the water
mm-hmm.
bungalows and everything. And I thought, well, what a shame that would be
Yeah.
To just go and spend it on one of the islands. Mm-hmm. And the islands are called the Society Islands. Mm-hmm. They're, what, over 200, I
think. Well, they're 118.
118. Gary's always good with the numbers. And you can't possibly see them all in the length of time that we saw them all. And we didn't see them all. We saw six. Because of the expensive airfares from island to island. And also the ferry times.
Right.
There, we'll talk about a convenient ferry between Tahiti and Moorea. And when you say Tahiti, most people think of the Society Islands and French Polynesia as all Tahiti. You know, the word Tahiti means all of them. But we really got to see an amazing amount of things in a short period of time. And all the islands were different, I felt. Even though there were similarities to all of them, and the water that surrounds them all is just the most magnificent water you ever see in your life.
And I think one of the things that I appreciated was that Windstar really honed in on the culture. They wanted to showcase the culture. They wanted to showcase the local artisans and people and the singers and the dancers and the traditions of the island.
Well, and they even had an ambassador. They had Pearl.
Yeah, they have a full-time ambassador on the ship,
right,
to really tell people, teach people about the culture and answer questions.
Yeah, it's the one thing I like. It's a smaller vessel, not that many people. Around
312.
We had a little over 200. What was the
254.
Amount?
254.
Yeah. So it's you get to know people if you choose to. The food is also award-winning.
They have a partnership with the James Beard Foundation.
Yeah.
And every night when you're on the ship, they have an offering on the menu from a different James Beard chef. So they were saying that they have menus from over 20 chefs. The particular cruise we were on did not have one of the chefs on board. However, Windstar does have cruises where some of the James Beard chefs travel with you at their culinary-based cruises.
Right.
But, yeah, and I can't remember some of the ones that we had, but the food, especially, what's the main dining room named?
Amphora.
Amphora. The food in Amphora was, I thought, wonderful.
It was.
Can't go wrong.
Really liked it, and the staff and the crew, everyone was wonderful. They have an amazing gift shop. Let's talk about the Black Pearls, because you cannot go to French Polynesia without learning about the Black Pearls.
I've always wanted Black Pearls, and I read about the Black Pearls. I thought I knew a lot about the Black Pearls until I got there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized I didn't know anything really about the Black Pearls, or let's put it this way, I didn't know enough.
A lot to learn.
And on the ship, there was a very, very knowledgeable and very friendly, very funny guy. I can't remember his name. I apologize for not remembering his name.
He ran the gift shop.
But our friend who had gone on the cruise before we went on the cruise said, be sure to go to the gift shop, meet this guy, because there are a strand of $28,000 Tahitian pearls.
Yeah.
So much fun trying those on. And as Pam said, he looked at me and said, don't walk. He put them on and said, don't walk out of the shop with those on. But, you know, we should talk about it. We learned a lot on the ship again on one of the excursions, or several of the excursions you can go on. You can actually dive for your own pearls if you want to,
yep,
which I did not do. But you go to these pearl farms and you realize in Tahiti, the islands, almost every island has these small, what they call pearl farms, and they're family operated. Mm-hmm. These aren't huge. It's not like what you think.
It's
mom and pop. There's no big production thing. Every year they have a pearl market where they sell their pearls. And you can buy pearls from these family farms. There are plenty of places to buy pearls, but what we found was Tahitian pearls are very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many, many colors. I don't remember how many different colors
either.
They told
us. I wish I did.
And there are things to remember about what makes them more valuable, some more than others. Shape is one. Color is one.
Yeah.
Consistency is one. I can't remember. There's an acronym for what they all are. But we ended up finding a French woman who made jewelry who spent so much time with us, and we bought back some wonderful pearls.
We did. And again, back to the ship. You can, if you engage with other passengers, you can also, I think the ship does a great job of getting you into the culture, getting you out there to learn, like our picnic in the water. But if you engage with other passengers, that's how we found, and that's the good thing about a smaller ship, I think, sometimes,
right,
where you end up chatting with people, and that's how we found this great jeweler there on Bora Bora, was from other passengers.
Yes, there was a woman on board that we were talking to, just chatting, and she had on a necklace. I said, that's my recollection.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, we're looking for some pearls. And they had gone before the cruise to Bora Bora. So she said, yes, when we get to Bora Bora, this is the person for you to go look for. And I think we should talk a little bit about, I mean, I know we're talking all about the ship, but the before and after.
Mm-hmm.
Which, the ideal plan for me for Tahiti and for the Society Islands this trip is to maybe have a day before and two or three days afterwards in several of the selected islands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I would tell anybody to do.
Right.
Yeah. Number one, it's a long way, and you want to try to be refresh yourself a little bit after you get there. In our case, you know, we got there very early in the morning. It was like 5 a.m. And we were able to get a taxi over to the Intercontinental, which is one of the resorts there on Papeete, capital.
Papeete.
And yes, we did learn some Tahitian.
We did. It's tricky. It's very tricky.
Just like Morea, they call it
Mo'orea.
Right. Mo'orea. But we were able to go over there and enjoy a wonderful brunch and enjoy the beautiful location they have with the over-the-water bungalows. And
it's really, the other thing we should talk a little bit about is things are very expensive,
mm-hmm,
there.
Yeah.
Everything is very expensive. But
everything has to be brought in.
But going from the ship, from the airport to the Intercontinental and then even back to the cruise port, is an inexpensive, comparatively,
mm-hmm,
taxi ride.
Mm-hmm.
And they do take American money just about everywhere.
Yeah, that's important.
But you do need some Tahitian money because on the smaller artisan, like, I can't remember what you bought. Oh, that necklace, that beautiful necklace that you bought, and I bought a necklace too. They only took Tahitian money.
Right.
Yeah, they use a Polynesian franc.
Polynesian franc.
And while we did love going to this official jeweler, it's also fun to buy from the local artisans because they're wonderful. Number one, they're so friendly, they're so engaging, and you can get some very beautiful stuff. So don't overlook when you go,
including all of their handmade fabrics, or you know, whatever. I guess they're handmade fabrics.
What is it, the Poreo?
The Poreos.
Yeah,
that
which
they
Deb,
create.
You got a beautiful one, and so you probably won't go back for a long time. So be sure to get these things because it's worth it.
And one thing to note on the money front too is that the taxis generally do not take credit cards.
No, they do not.
So, and some of the taxi rides can be expensive depending on where you're going.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
so
true.
You want to allocate cash for taxis.
Right.
You want to have some cash with you in both denominations. I would say American money is fine, but dollars are fine, but you do want to have some Polynesian francs. There are things that we use them for.
Mm-hmm.
Tips, for example, to sometimes things like that. And again, they're on some of those pearl farms, and they say this on the before you go on the excursion, they do not take credit cards. They only take cash. And a lot of times they would prefer to have their own because they don't want to have to convert.
Right.
And I think that you had and when we got there, you tried to go to a bank and
oh yeah.
And there was some issue there about
it was maybe the issue was me. Maybe I didn't know exactly how much money I was getting because of what it had. Oh, I know that the issue about the bank was they only let people from the bank get. I was trying to
you have
exchange
to,
money.
Oh, you had to have an account.
You had to have an account to exchange dollars for. Right. So I had to use the ATM. And I came back and I'm like, I have no idea how much money I just got. I just stuck a card in and just took it out.
So
I'm like, who knows?
Do your exchange before you leave your country.
Yes.
You know, get,
that's
go
always ahead. A good idea.
I want to jump in just a second because I want us to, I can see how this is going and how we're going to need to have several podcasts about this trip. I think I want us to talk about the plane and the getting there, what we all did travel-wise to get there. Then I think we need to have a whole other podcast about the excursions, the differences mm-hmm. in the things that we did together and separately. But as Deb has already said, take some extra time. Because we did that after we got off the ship. We stayed over and we stayed at two different places, two different experiences. But while you're there, also find out where the locals go for dinner and for pizza. So let's talk about how we engaged in the local, you know, culture, the grocery store. If you guys want to get into those three things on this podcast, and we'll come back and do the getting there and then because I want us to share this with everyone because these are worth it podcasts for travel, I think. Don't you guys agree?
I agree. Well, first thing we should say is how we ended up going the places that we went
yes.
in afterwards. So I have a very good friend who is a wonderful travel writer named Becca Hensley, and she's been there several times. So I would say one tip is, if you know someone that's been there, be sure and talk to them and ask them. Or if you're on the ship and someone, that's another tip we got. There was a guy that had been in Morea because we were going there that told us about the restaurants and things.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, kind of do your homework, get your information a little bit.
Right.
First.
Definitely do homework.
And we got some really, really great recommendations. Ended up in Mo'orea only has, which was a big surprise to me, maybe you all too, 4 hotels.
Yeah.
Several
nice.
Of the hotels have not opened up again after the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So we were very, very fortunate that we got to stay at a place called Cook's Bay.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's been newly renovated and we had a fantastic suite.
Oh.
I mean, I couldn't say enough good things. And the people in every place we went in Tahiti, the people were just so amazing. And this was on Morea. And Cook's Bay sits in the most idyllic location I can even imagine in Morea. If you were Captain Cook or James or William Bligh, that was what you saw.
Yeah.
When you sailed into Cook's Bay, that's where this hotel sits.
Yeah.
And you look out, you see the mountain, and you want to sing Bally High.
It's true.
Really incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing missing really at the hotel or the resort was they don't have a big, wide, sandy beach. You know, it's on a lagoon.
It's yeah. on, well,
there's
it is.
A small
they
beach.
Have a small beach.
Small
they have
beach.
A small beach, but I didn't see any big sandy beaches on Morea anywhere.
You know what? As we talked about last night, this is not really that kind of a vacation. To not overly much, I don't think.
I think there was, when we took the excursion in Morea, there was that big public beach where we snapped photos.
Maybe
that's
one.
True.
Yeah
that's
but
true.
I don't remember a hotel being there.
No,
I don't either.
No, there was no hotel
right.
on the beach like
so,
that.
So Morea really, and Pam's right, most of the islands don't have what you think of as big, wide, like Caribbean beaches.
They don't.
Right,
or
and a lot of them are black volcanic
black
sand beaches.
Yeah,
they're
they not. And a lot of them, if you remember, you go straight off the beach into the water, and our guide on, I think it was Bora Bora, isn't that where Bloody Mary's is?
Yeah.
Our guide on Bora Bora said, you really can't, there are only very few beaches you could swim in here because of the rocks and because
yeah.
of the coral. So it's not what you think of beach-wise, but as far as, you know, back to Cook's Bay, they also have this restaurant that is one of the few restaurants in Morea that overlooks water.
Yeah.
So many of them don't, and that was kind of interesting too.
It was.
Moriah's not all that developed.
No, it
but
isn't.
I'll let you guys tell the story of our guide and our wonderful trip with the guide that I didn't want to go on.
It's excuse me, sheer dumb luck how these things happen, really, because we weren't sure what we were going to do on this particular day.
And this is after the cruise is over.
Right. All of this that we're talking about now is
We're
staying at Cook's Bay. And by the way, let me back up just a minute. In the movies, when people are on a trip, 6 days, 7 nights is one that comes to mind when they walk out and go, oh, we're never leaving. That's kind of the response I had when we were at Cook's Bay and we walked out onto this massive veranda that looked out over, I mean, it's just straight out of a movie. And you just go, oh my gosh.
Like you're living in a postcard.
Yeah, it's so weird. But anyway, these were the extra days. And we were at a visitor center. And I walked out because it's like, I'll let them talk. And this guy across the way, it was a little hut building, kind of, with a hut kind of roof. And he started talking to me across the way, and I went over, and he was offering to do a tour, a private tour. And so we ended up agreeing to the three of us go on this private tour.
And I will say, for me, it was a lesson in don't judge a book by its cover. Because this guy, if you remember, didn't he have like part of his head shaved?
Mm-hmm.
And he had on a pareo.
He did.
You know, like a man's skirt.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know why. I mean, we had already done a tour. Gary and I had already done a photographer's tour of the island.
Right.
And so where he was saying that he was going to take us, I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. I've already been there. Then I thought, you know, step back a minute. You're judging a book by its cover, first of all. And I turned out to be his biggest fan.
You did.
Which was crazy. So
you
I
did.
Went. So I'm just saying, be open,
yeah.
Be open.
Yeah,
well, the
absolutely.
Great thing about it, too, was that, you know, he's born and raised on Moorea. He's a local. He knows everything about the island.
And everybody.
And you get a view that you'd never get on any other excursion.
And he ended up, we actually didn't go to some of the places that Deb really didn't want to go to, and because she'd already been there and she wasn't. And we went to places that were definitely not a typical tour. It's like, such as a local grocery store. And that was, these are the little highlights for me, I got to tell you. It was raining that day, that by the time we got to the grocery store. And we went in, and we were really, one of the things I was looking for was coffee, because I wanted to bring coffee back for our friends. And when we were backing up to the beginning of the trip at the Intercontinental, it was the best, and I'm very picky about coffee, and I said, this is really good coffee. What kind of coffee is it? And I didn't think she really knew what I was talking about. And then in a few minutes, she comes back with the bag of coffee. It's like, this is the coffee. And I was determined to find that. And so we shopped in the local store, and we bought our own food, and he stopped there and was very patient with the stops that we wanted to make, such as the grocery store.
Well, and the things that he did, like, it was so funny because he was so personable, and like you say, he had been born and raised there. However, for 17 years he had lived in Arizona and went to the University
That's
of Arizona.
That's right. Yeah.
So he was very, some are and some aren't fluent, you know, English wise, but he was.
Yeah.
But he also told us about his upbringing, his family, and his grandfather.
Yeah.
And he was living with and taking care of his grandfather. So he said, do you mind if I stop? I'm going to buy two things he stopped and bought. But one was the ever, ever mystical and wonderful best bread you've ever put in your mouth, coconut bread.
Oh my gosh.
So he bought this bread. Was still, when we got it, it was still warm. The people greeted him, you know, they was like, oh, hi, how's your
This was just kind of stopped by the side of the road.
Side of the road.
Yeah.
He got his grandfather the bread, and he gave us bread, and we were like, This is the best bread we've
ever
had.
We ate it so fast, we had to go get another loaf.
We had him tell him we want more. It was truly, I've never had bread that good. I don't think I ever will again. It was warm. It just melted in your, it was heaven. However, we bought more at the grocery store. And yeah. It was, oh my gosh, it was
that,
so,
and then
so
Pam's
good.
Least favorite thing, but Gary and I liked it.
Oh.
The special Chinese
sprinkling,
whatever that was.
Yeah,
God only knows. Fruit sprinkle.
That just,
whatever. It turns your fingers red. It tastes like, sort of like cherry Jell-O, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit like Jell-O, yeah.
But the reason he took us there was he was getting his grandfather bananas and pineapple, and us, because we asked for bananas and pineapple.
Right.
The fresh fruit and the things, it's not like what you think of in the United States. You don't get Dole bananas that are the big bananas. These are little bananas that are off the tree.
The heaven.
The best
heaven.
Bananas.
And the pineapples aren't woody. I mean, you know, you can eat them all the way through.
You can eat the core.
Yeah.
It's different. And it's just those little things that make it so different,
yep.
Like what you were talking about.
Yep.
And the excursions that you go on in general, and I would say give Windstar, we'll talk about these later, but I'd give them a high rating on these.
Oh, absolutely. Because
they've been there for 36, 37 years.
Right.
And they know. But to go the two excursions that we went, or not really excursions, tours, I guess, with the two different people, were from two people that had been born and raised there. One guy, well, we'll talk about him in a minute, from Tahiti, said, I was born here and I'll die here. Isn't
yeah,
he
did.
Said?
Yeah, he did.
And he was just a taxi driver that we sort of, Pam and I,
we kind
of
hijacked him.
Kind of browbeat him into taking us on a tour. And it turned out fine.
It
so,
did,
you know, the other thing that the our tour guide in Moorea did was recommend a pizza place.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. That was kind of off, you know, off the grid a little bit.
Yeah, we walked to that from our hotel.
He said, it's the best pizza you've ever had. And guess what?
It was.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing was when you really, so we got there and my mouth dropped open, not just because of looking at the pizza. It was a genuine wood-burning fireplace, a pizza oven, like you would see in Italy.
It was just right there.
In Sicily.
Yeah.
And it was all locals. There was a bar and one little tiny room. But the
people were lined up to buy it.
Oh, my God. And the people that started it, the name of it's
Allo.
A-L-L-O.
Yeah.
They were Italian.
Yeah.
Their family was Italian. And the family, that's the other thing about Tahiti and the islands. Lots and lots and lots of things are family businesses.
They are. It's
true. Example, the taxi driver we got to take us to the
with the mother and daughter.
Was a mother and daughter.
Right.
So many of these people, it's a family business. They never leave.
Let's wrap up this segment on Rudy's. Let's talk about Rudy's.
You mean my future husband?
I want to talk about your future husband, the restaurant Rudy's.
Well, you know, when we did the research, pretty much everybody said you've got to go to Rudy's.
The people on the ship. That
yeah, everybody tells you, whatever you do on Moorea, go to Rudy's.
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
And they said, best restaurant ever. Another thing they said.
You have to have reservations.
And they told us you have to have reservations, and they will pick you up at your hotel.
It's very small. It's a very small restaurant.
Very small restaurant. And they said, you know, again, don't judge a book by its cover. If you drive by it, don't pay any attention because it's not on the water. It's right on the highway.
Not super fancy.
Not at all. It's cute, though.
It's nice, but...
Yeah.
So they said, they'll pick you up.
Yeah.
So we waited. We were getting a little antsy because we had a time. That's the other thing I would say about Moorea and other places in Tahiti. Time is relative.
Yeah.
They're on island time.
Time is relative, yeah. So we had the desk clerk at the hotel call the restaurant because they were late. They were significantly
late.
They
were, yeah.
Like 30 minutes late.
Yeah.
So lo and behold, this Mercedes pulled up. I don't know.
Yeah.
And we start laughing. It was the owner of the restaurant, the founder of the restaurant, who was 81 years
yep.
old, who just started talking and was delightful and charming, but drove like a maniac.
He did.
Came and picked us up and said, well, I'm picking you up because everyone else is busy.
Oh, so, the restaurant was full.
So we got the owner that picked us up.
In his personal car.
In his personal car.
And I said, that's somebody I could marry if I, you know. He was 81.
Yeah.
And man, he was with it. He was.
He was. Yeah, he was energetic. And the food, we had this great little table. Again, it's all pretty small. As we walked in, there were people that had been on the ship with us, which was pretty fun. But it was a really.
And we had parrotfish.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
I would have never thought, you know, and I really, in when they first recommended parrotfish, because, you know, all those Disney movies, parrotfish have that cute little mouth. I thought, I don't know if I could eat a parrotfish. Well, believe you me, it went down pretty well.
Yeah. They're also known for their steaks.
Steaks.
Yeah. Although we don't eat steaks, you do. And so the next time you're getting a steak.
Next time I'm going to get a steak.
Okay. You know what? This has been really fun. There's so much to talk about. There's so much to share. So we will be back with at least two more podcasts about our trip to the Society Islands.
Right, black pearls aren't the only pearl we want to talk about. That's a little teaser.
That's
okay,
right.
There you go. So thank you guys very much, everyone. I hope that that you've enjoyed traveling with us, going along with us, and I hope you'll come back for the next two podcasts.
What do they say, goodbye in Tahiti and Ma'aruru, or...
Well, I don't know, but that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Everyone, I hope you will also visit Gigi in the 561. Don't forget that podcast. Gary will have everything posted, as always, on NorthPalmBeachLife.com. Look him up on All Things Cruise and Splash Magazine Worldwide. Deborah can be found writing about this trip.
And also 365portsofcall.com.
And she already has a story out.
I have two stories out on Curated Texan and Founding Austin. And there'll be pages on each one of the island on 365 Ports of Call.
So do go there and check that out. These podcasts always rest, as I said, on North Palm Beach Life. .com. But don't forget our YouTube channel by the same name. Also, 20 other platforms, some of them you may not have ever heard of, but Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, and Pandora, always out there. Just Google it. Travel Bistro. Thanks for being here. Just on the other side of the mic. It's great to have you. Thanks so much for joining us. Be sure to come back.